Hello, this is May 15th, 2024. I'm Diana Pulliam with the Mighty Hand of God, and we have Lauren Peterson, presenter of the Angel War series, with us for episode number 18 today. And Lauren, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and open in prayer, please, before we proceed.
Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come together in this format that can reach people all over the world. And we ask that you lead us and guide us in our discussion today. There's so many advanced topics, deep topics, and even current world events that are vastly accelerating on the world scene, even nationally and locally, that we need your wisdom and we need your might, just ability to stay in faith. Even it's going to take extra oomph from you to be deported, be poured out upon your children all over the world, to stay faithful, to hang in there to the bitter end, to finish the race, as Apostle Paul would say. We have to finish the race. And Revelation 12:11, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, they regarded their lives not unto death, that we may be that bold and ferocious, never backing down, especially in light of current events, current laws are being passed. But we ask now, we thank you, we can come together and share your word, share your thoughts, your ideas, your faith. And we ask that you lead this discussion today and bless those who hear this. Pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yes, Lauren and I talked a little bit before about some of the things going on, and it really, really, everything that we've been speaking about, that Lauren's been bringing out, and it's such confirmation. And you touched on something in that prayer about the laws and the different things that are passing and the boats and this and that and that are passing. And basically, it's like an Acts 4 moment. I was just talking about that to my prayer group this last weekend, an Acts 4 moment where, remember, Peter, John, they were arrested and all that, and they were threatened. They were threatened not to talk, preach, teach anymore in this name of Jesus. And they were released after they were threatened. They went back to their group that was praying as one, in one accord. And they went in, told them everything that had happened. And then the prayer they said was just amazing. It really resonates. And I didn't even mean to bring this up, but when you talked about the threats, it says, Lord, they said, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your servant Jesus. In that name, right? It says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And now, and we know what happened after they went back out. But yes, amen. Amen to that prayer. Last week, well, the last two sessions, it was episode 17, had two parts, A and B. I want to talk about a couple, two or three things that were mentioned there, and then I'm going to turn the mic back over to you, Lauren. But you brought up the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We were talking about temptations, trials. The fact that you said, you know, the two parts of the tree, it's one tree, but there's two parts to it. One tree, but two parts to it. And it's good and evil. But you talked about, I think last time, about the debt collector always comes. And there might seem some good things in this life, right? But, it's from that knowledge, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You spoke a lot about that. I might touch on that here in a minute again. It's how God, if it's something good from God, he's the giver of gifts, but his gifts are good and perfect gifts. There's no evil side. So I'll cover that here in a minute, but there's something I want to talk about, the temptations and the trials. The temptations and the trials that we may have to endure to the end. It talks a lot about that. He that endures to the end, right? He shall receive the crown of life. And that was you talking about how sometimes we are radically delivered of something. Like a suddenly and all of a sudden this desire is gone forever. Smoking, I don't fill in the blank, drinking, whatever. But then there's certain situations where it's a lifelong battle. Something to be endured to the end, right? Even if it's to your last dying breath, he that endures to the end shall be saved. I really think it was worth bringing back out again because I know people that are dealing with certain things. We all do. There's things I deal with. It just comes to mind about Paul when he sought the Lord about the thorn in the flesh. And he says, my grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient. And he says, first of all, we'll talk about temptations or whatever. God can't be tempted. And he does not tempt any of us. Okay, we're tempted by our own lusts and drawn away. It's something the Lord's been stressing to me lately, how it's our own thoughts, our own wants, our own desires that give the devil a foothold to come in and derail us. We're not allowing ourselves to be crucified, not allowing those self desires, hopes and self dreams to be put on the altar. And we need to die to these things. He brought up again, and it's on the website. Are you ready to die? It was those very things. Because I would say, oh, Lord, yes, everything, remove everything that's not of you. Everything that doesn't please you, remove it, strip it from me. And he said that night, this was back in, I think, 2017, are you ready to die? And I said, yes, Lord. I didn't know what I was saying. I was serious. I was sincere, but I didn't know the ramifications, the depths of what would have to be done. But he took me and pretty soon he said, pay attention. I'm answering your prayers. And that's when my life began to be dismantled. And he said, during the midst of groaning and crying, he said in the car and groaning and screaming in the car one night on the way to a prayer group, he said, dying's not easy. I bring that up. I know I may have spoken about it before, but it was, 2 or 3 weeks ago now, out of the blue. I had some grievous disappointment come my way. Grievous disappointment. And I found myself paralyzed. You know, I had trouble focusing to pray. I couldn't write. I couldn't study. I was paralyzed. I was sideline, so to speak. The situation was consuming my mind. That's all I could think about was that particular situation. I won't go into it, but this particular situation was consuming me. And out of the blue, God said, he named it. He said, this is your kryptonite. I was like, whoa. He had me talk about it during a prayer call a couple of weeks ago, and he had me ask the group, what is your kryptonite? What is your kryptonite? Because it's these desires that the devil's able to tap into. He can come in via disappointments, enticements. He'll even set you up in various ways to make you think God's finally moving now to bring about this particular fulfillment, right? And in my life, one of the things he's shown me has been a kryptonite for me. It was something he told me he was going to do. This was probably back in 2015. And it's like, oh, And I knew it was going to be off in the distance. He told me, you know, it was like I was begin praying in the spirit and I started speaking those things out my mouth. It was prophetic. But it may even be something he's told you he's going to do. He doesn't have to be, it doesn't even have to be bad. It could be awesome. Something you're looking forward to. It doesn't mean it's bad or evil in itself. Maybe it's a promise that he's made you, an assurance regarding something. You just know it's coming. He said it is, but he didn't tell you how he was going to do it, or he didn't tell you when. Think of when he promised, God gave that promise to Abraham and Sarah. The devil can bring in a counterfeit, then completely dash you to pieces when it destructs. This destruction starts going on right before your eyes. Then you're crushed. You're sidelined for days or weeks or even years. Or maybe with some people, it'll totally take them out. What about Lucifer? What were Lucifer's own desires, his own reasoning that enticed him to fall away for good? When God started a project, right, with the begotten ones, that seemed to Lucifer as a complete derailment of what Lucifer had in his mind, what he thought it should be. It's not, as you brought out, it is not God. God is not the one who tempted Adam and Eve or Lucifer to depart and rebel. It's not him that has tempted this whole fallen world, his creation. He didn't tempt them. Everyone is tempted and enticed by his own desires, his own kryptonite, if you will. When God gives a gift, it's a good and perfect gift. There is no evil side to it, like the two-sided tree of knowledge of good and evil. The question is, are we willing to truly allow ourselves to be crucified in Christ? Are we willing to die to self? Are we willing to lay all our desires at the foot of the cross as Jesus did? His flesh had a desire to live and not die. Have we even thought about that? In the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked the Father if there was any other way possible, if that cup could be taken from him. That was his desire. But he quickly submitted his will to the Father. And we know what he said, not my will, but thine be done. What an example he gave us. That was the final nail, so to speak, in that cross, in through his hands, his feet, when he gave up his will to the Father. So it was a very timely topic you spoke on, you know, Lauren, the two-sided tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The other thing, I know that's a huge topic, I almost don't want to leave it, but the other thing you brought out that's critical to understand right now is the gradual reduction, or it wasn't gradual, it was at times, it has been because of sin and stuff like that also, but critical, catastrophic reductions in lifespan. Before the flood, the general lifespan was in the 900s. We know that Noah lived to 950. It was in the 900s. After the flood, and the first generation, after the flood had died out, that generation, the lifespan for those afterward went down into the 400 to 500 year range. That's huge. After the flood. Then we have the next worldwide catastrophic event that happened, where the earth was divided. And what we know as the Tower of Babel. We're even told this happened, that the earth was divided in the days of Peleg. Lauren said, you know, he might touch further on this tonight. I don't know as far as the number of generations that may have involved here, but however the Spirit leads. But what I want to point out is that after the Tower of Babel, the lifespan went down further, as he explained. The people were scattered and divided. Not only the language, but people themselves. The Book of Enoch says originally the land-water ratio, the land-to-water ratio was 6 parts land and 1 part water before the flood. The land was divided into continents. Guys, this was another catastrophic event. It says this happened during the life of Peleg in Genesis 1, verse 25. And we know that Peleg only lived 239 years. That's another huge drop. And then by Abraham's time, lifespans had reduced further. He lived to 175. And then when we get to Moses, that was 120. And the average lifespan continuing down from Moses, you know, like you pointed out here and there, we've had a little uptick. So, oh, man's living longer and this and that and this and that. But in general, down to where we are today, okay, in the U.S., it's down, I read 76.4 average years in the U.S. The lowest it's been in 2 decades. So we're going down global. Lifespan, 73.4 years. So in general, life expectancy is down over 40 years since Moses. The obvious here, humankind cannot survive another catastrophic event. Think about it. We're at 73. We're only living now for an average of 73 years worldwide. What is another catastrophic event gonna do? Lauren, you've repeatedly made the point how Lucifer wants to take God's creation back to Genesis 1 verse 2 to the tohu vabohu state of total darkness, total chaos, chaotic, empty wasteland. Why? Why would he want to do that? Why is he trying to do that? So he can rebuild it back better in his image and likeness. He wants a do-over and he wants to do it. He thinks he's got this one. He thinks he might be able to pull it off. Ah, but God, this is where we are now, right? Ah, but God. The end was known and prophesied from the beginning. The judgment of God will be rendered. We're at the expiration time, guys. This is, I believe it. I believe we've entered the midnight hour. And I won't go into why I think that. No nation's going to be exempt. Judgment begins with the house of God, we know. And that's why some of the events that are getting ready to happen are going to affect us immensely. Like Lauren and I were talking before, the sheep from the goats are going to be divided, but also the sheep from the sheep. This will be the showdown at OK Corral, Lauren said. Happily so. You mentioned how as this 5 or 6G, whatever they have, comes on board and is activated around the globe, without the covering and protection of God, there will be no place to hide, guys. God showed, Lauren, you and I talked about this back in 2017 or 18, whenever it was. And I, without the blood of Jesus, our goose is cooked, right? There'll be no place to hide. All will be able to be detected. You spoke of when the galactic brotherhood, that galactic brotherhood shows up on the scene, appearing to have all the answers. You think people are not going to be deceived? deception will be massive. The fallen ones know the timelines. They were around. As they begin to communicate some of these things, it's things the church has been unwilling to speak about. Oh, that's of the devil. If you talk about some of the things that we talk about here, ancient texts refer to the entities who are, they were here before mankind, but fell. Hence the angel wars, etc. But then God placed Adam and Eve here to take back that dominion. And we know the story, don't we? These races, these various races of these fallen ones and different entities that are in earth suits, these races in the earth suits have been trying to wipe out mankind ever since. Adam and Eve failed, and we have. Ever since, they've been trying to wipe out mankind. The groups we're hearing right now talking about wiping all humanity off the planet, reducing mankind. We need to get them down to about 500 million. They need to reduce the carbon imprint and stuff down to zero. It's like, what? That means all life. Are we hearing what they're saying? What they're talking about, wiping all humanity off the planet except themselves. Those are the fallen rebels. Mass deception is going on and will only increase in the days ahead. So I want to end by stressing the need for all of us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. Workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing that word of truth and knowing and understanding it's here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. You need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We need to use the time we have right now to press into God, to shore up our oil reserves. He says now's the time to stock up on oil. Stock up, guys. Let's keep our eyes straight ahead. Let's not keep them on the storm. We're aware of it. Yes, we need to know so we're not caught unaware. But it should be from a peripheral view. Our eyes are on Jesus. We need to be, make sure we're in that secret place of the Most High, that we're covered under His wings. We dwell there in that Holy of Holies. So we talked a little about the convergence of many things going on right now, and God's recently stressed we're entering, or we have entered, the midnight hour. So saints, please use this time wisely. And I know Lauren echoes this. So I'm going to turn the mic. I'm going to mute myself, Lauren, and turn the mic over you. You mentioned the end of last episode, you might look back further into the lineage between those from the flood to the Tower of Babel, say from Ham to Nimrod, etc. You know, were they literal person-to-person lineage as listed in the Bible, or does the Bible just give the general lineages so you could track it back, right, to the persons? But wherever the Spirit leads you today, Lauren, go with it.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, folks, after 9/11, I was numb for about a week. I couldn't read the Bible. I couldn't pray. I just kind of basically laid around kind of in a fuzzy brain, you know. And I just couldn't get up going. But after that first week, it was a very slow process of getting back into praying and reading the Bible, a slow process. So for the past couple of weeks, I've had that kind of same kind of feeling, but that kind of event hasn't happened. See, it's a kind of like a foreshadowing of something that is coming down the pike, maybe soon. So I've kind of been in the doldrums. And this past week or so, I've had to ask Jesus to please give me some energy, help. Even the simplest tasks, it's like, you know, it's just all like King Solomon. It's everything is just all vanity. You know, it's like one man, or one generation even, builds up something, and the next man or the next generation tears it all down. So it's all vanity, right? It's all worthless endeavors. It's like when you look at, you know, the things that we aspire to do, it all becomes like, what's the point of even taking the next breath of life, you know, when it's all going to come be coming down. Okay. So Lord Jesus, I think a lot of us kind of feel that way from time to time, and we need your breath of life to be breathed back into us, even just to have a modicum of functionality in the world today, right? Just a touch of normalcy to get us through another moment, another minute, another day, you know, even to perform the simplest of tasks. Now the world is totally clueless of what's going on. They just, like Jesus said, marrying and giving in marriage and party hardy, you know, life as usual for them, right? But for those of us who are sensitive to the spirit, sensitive to what's coming down the pike, it can take a toll. And so we need that breath of fresh life that comes from Jesus to be breathed back into us, even to just function, even to do the dishes or mow the lawn, you know. I generally like mowing the lawn because I view it as a workout session, you know. But this time I had to have help from Jesus to even get my mind focused on mowing the lawn, you know, because I have a sense of what's coming down the pike. And it's not a nice picture, folks. So I want to start out with Jeremiah chapter 25. And I'm going to read through the whole chapter. And there's something in particular in here that could be prophetic as pertaining to the United States. So here we go. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah. This is the people of Judah who commonly broad brushed are called the Jews. Okay. So this has a modern day application here. Chapter 25. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, which was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Verse 2, which Jeremiah the prophet spoke to all the people of Judah and to all inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, even to this day, this is the 23rd year in which the word of the Lord has come to me. Catch that, folks, the 23rd year. And I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, but you have not listened. This nation, the United States of America, that's what it used to be called. It is no longer the United States of America. But for 23 years, this nation has had time to hear the words of modern day prophets and prophetesses that have warned and warned and warned. For 23 years. 23 years since September 11th, our 9/11. We've had 23 years. It'll be 23 years coming up on this current 9/11 of this year, 2024. 23 years have passed by. So we're in that 23rd year now, folks. And the day of reckoning is soon upon us. The day of recompense, as we'll read through the rest of this chapter. And you can read the whole book of Jeremiah. It's not a pretty picture. But a lot of what Jeremiah was talking about, prophesying about, what God was warning his people back then has modern day application. So we've had 23 years. And the greatest Christian president ever to be the president of the United States, George Bush, as a lot of Christians believed at the time and maybe still believe to this day, is the greatest Christian president. As a president, we know that the president represents all the people of the nation, not just Christians, okay? And yet, usually, there's no atheist in a foxhole. In other words, the President Bush had a prime time to call this nation unto true repentance. He did, of course, encourage people to pray and stuff like that, you know, but he said to go back to business as usual. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it was business as usual that got us into that situation to begin with. So he's encouraging us. Basically, what he was doing was placing a curse on this nation to return to business as usual. On the surface, we understand what he's talking about. Go about your regular lives. Don't let this one event derail you. We're going to prevail over this act of terrorism by returning to our lives as usual, business as usual. Okay, but without calling the nation to repentance, you're invoking a curse upon this nation to return to life, to business as usual, because this was like a flash moment in our history. A prime time of when he had to call this nation in conjunction with other people, men and women of God, right down to the church level, to call people unto repentance of their sins. Not just to go return to churches and you know, for a stretch of time and pray and all that stuff, you know, which is good, but to have a true national repentance. Did not happen, did it, folks? There were certainly individuals, groups of people that repented, people that became born again due to 9/11. But as a nation, it did not return to the one true God. But instead, built a one world tower to replace the twin towers. A new tower of Babel. A new tower of Babel. And so, like the Twin Towers, if you can picture a double finger poke in the eye of God's eyes and rebuilt as a one world tower, a one big finger in God's face to unify the world. Okay, in total rebellion against God. So this nation became a leader of that rebellion. We became the new land of Babel, building this one world tower. And it will come down. God will not be mocked. The one world tower in New York City will be brought down, and not by some ragtag terrorists, okay, as patsies, not by an inside job assisted by an outside interest, as what happened in 9/11. It'll be God himself that brings that tower down. Be God himself that topples the Statue of Liberty into the Hudson for all time. When that happens, folks, this nation is done as a nation. Okay? You will know when that earthquake hits in its finality that this nation is done. So 23 years we've had as a nation to repent as a nation, but we haven't. Instead, the bloodletting, the shedding of innocent blood we took on a global scale, to shed innocent blood in other nations of the world, wherever we wanted to go, to exert our influence, to spill innocent blood, cries out unto the Most High. Payday is coming, America. When the recompense of your wickedness will be fulfilled. And so that's what I sense coming down the pike soon. Okay. 23 years of Jeremiah preaching repentance, and they even tried to kill him several times. Sideline him, kill him, denigrate him. We oftentimes think, as Christians, think of the prophets, you know, the bold prophets, and oh, if I was like that, you know, but he was sidelined from society. Okay. They poo-pooed him. They denigrated him. They talked bad things about him, you know, talk S about him, you know, what word I'm using about him. And in effect, they were saying that directly to God himself, because he was the true mouthpiece of God. So when they're denigrating and trying to kill him, they're trying to do that to God himself. and maybe not realizing it. Maybe they thought they were trying to do, they even went so far as to consider Jeremiah a traitor to Israel, to what was left of Israel, here Judah, a traitor to the country, a traitor to his own people. Isn't that what we see happening today, folks? If you speak the unadulterated word of God, you're considered a traitor to the United States of America, especially in today's climate. So continuing on, 23 years. Verse 4, and the Lord has sent to you all his servants, the prophets. So it's not just Jeremiah, but other prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not listened nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, repent now every one of his evil way and his evil doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers forever and ever. Do not go after other gods to serve them and worship them, and do not provoke me to anger with the works of your hands. And what are some of those works of our hands of the United States of America? Not only the shedding of innocent blood in foreign nations that we have no business being in there to begin with, but the shedding of innocent blood in our own land. A nation soaked in blood, and we glory in it. It's called abortion. A woman's right to murder her unborn child. Yeah, it's your right. It's your free will choice, but it's also God's free will choice of recompense of wicked, evil actions. So you can go your own way and say, yeah, it's my right. Well, then why don't we just say, you know, we're going to make abortion legal. Why don't we just say murder is legal? That the first murder of Cain murdering Abel has been happening ever since. So let's just make it the law of the land. It's okay to murder anybody you want to murder. You know, get it out of your system. You feel like, you know, killing a million people, go ahead and kill a million people. Feel good about it. You know, you got, that's what's important is you feel good about the sins and the wickedness you endeavor in, that you feel good about it. Well, you're going to feel good at the white throne judgment. Or you feel good in the lake of fire. You're going to feel good there. Well, that's hurtful. Yeah, wait till God gets hold of you. See how hurtful you feel, you know, your feelings then. Yet you have not listened to me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own heart, your own hurt. Verse 8, therefore says the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, against its inhabitants, and against these nations all around, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment, a hissing, and a perpetual desolations. Are you getting this message, United States of America, Canada, Mexico? All the nations that surround the United States of America, the new Judah, okay, Washington, D.C., the new Jerusalem. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp. The light of the lamp has a spiritual significance also. The light of the lamp. I'd be like the Holy Spirit. God remove the Holy Spirit from the United States, Canada, Mexico. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Is this what the United States has before it? 70 years of enslavement. Then it shall come to pass when 70 years are completed that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, says the Lord, and I will make it a perpetual desolation. So I will bring on that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah has prophesied concerning all the nations. Verse 14, for many nations and great kings shall be served by them also, and I will repay them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. Judgment on the nations. Verse 15, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel to me, take this wine cup of fury from my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it. And they will drink and stagger and go mad because of the sword that I will send among them. They're going to go insane. Aren't we not seeing this already, folks? The nations of the world going insane, especially here in the United States of Israel, bought and paid for. Okay. Then I took the cup from the Lord's hand and made all the nations drink to whom the Lord had sent me, Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, its kings and its princes, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, a hissing, and a curse as it is this day. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, his servants, his princes, and all his people, all the mixed multitude, all the kings of the land of Uz, and the kings of the land of the Philistines, namely Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod, Edom, Moab, and the people of Ammon. Verse 23, all the kings of Tyre, all the kings of Sidon, all the kings and the kings of the coastlands, which are across the sea, Dedan, Tema, Buz, and all who are the farthest corners, all the kings of Arabia, would that be like Saudi Arabia today, and all the kings of the mixed multitude who dwell in the desert, all the kings of Zimri, all the kings of Elam, all the kings of the Medes, that'd be modern day Iran, all the kings of the north, could that include Russia even, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world which are on the face of the earth. Would that also include China, North Korea, South Korea, et cetera, right? Also, the king of Shishak shall drink after them. Therefore, you shall say to them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink, be drunk, and vomit. Fall and rise no more because of the sword which I will send among you. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup from your hand to drink, then you shall say to them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, you shall certainly drink. For behold, I begin to bring calamity on the city which is called by my name. And should you be utterly unpunished, you shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword on all the inhabitants of the earth, says the Lord of hosts. So even Jerusalem, called by his name, will be punished. Therefore prophesy against them all these words and say to them, the Lord will roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He will roar mightily against his fold. He will give a shout as those who tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise will come to the ends of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with the nations. He will plead his case with all flesh. He will give those who are wicked to the sword, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, disaster shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the farthest parts of the earth. And at that day, the slain of the Lord shall be from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented nor gathered nor buried. They shall become refuse on the ground. Wail, shepherds, and cry. Roll about in the ashes, you leaders of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and your dispersions are fulfilled. You shall fall like a precious vessel, and the shepherds will have no way to flee, nor the leaders of the flock to escape, no escape. A voice of the cry of the shepherds and a wailing of the leaders to the flock will be heard. For the Lord has plundered their pasture, and the peaceful dwellings are cut down because of the fierce anger of the Lord. He has left his lair like a lion, for their land is desolate because of the fierceness of the oppressor and because of his fierce anger. He's gone forth like a lion. Where else have we read that but in Jeremiah chapter 4? Verse 5, blow the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the fortified cities. Set up the standard toward Zion. Take refuge. Do not delay, for I will bring disaster from the north and great destruction. Verse 7, the lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of nations is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make your land desolate. Your cities will be laid waste without inhabitant. For this, clothe yourself with sackcloth, lament and wail. For the fierce anger of the Lord has not turned back from us. Okay, folks. In our modern times, modern days now, here even the United States of America has been transformed into the United, or maybe disunited, States of Israel. Israel has bought and paid this nation. They own this nation, lock, stock, and barrel. Okay, they are the tail that wags the dog. And so what's been prophesied for Israel in the Old Testament applies not only to modern day Israel, but modern day United States of Israel. Why else would members of our Congress wave Ukrainian flags? Okay. Because Zelensky is a Jew. He's one of the chosen ones. And so that then gives us a clue that many members of our own Congress are chosen ones. And many CEOs of corporations and companies are the chosen ones. Law firms, chosen ones. Supreme Court, some of them are chosen ones. Many within the administration are chosen ones. Many, Hollywood is owned and controlled by the chosen ones. This was admitted to me back in 98 by one of them. They admitted it. Okay. So I'm just reiterating a fact. Okay. Wall Street owned and controlled by the chosen. Okay. The United States is owned and controlled, especially since 1913 and the passage of the Federal Reserve Act in December of 1913. Has been transformed from the United States of America into the United States of Israel. And this was before Israel became a nation again, okay, in 1948. So they've had their grips on this country to transform it, and now they've got all these anti-Semitism laws being passed, even by Congress. So that not only will the New Testament will eventually be banned, and anybody quoting from that, from the New Testament, were regarded as hate speech against the chosen ones. But even the book of Jeremiah and all the books of the prophets, from minor to major prophets, will be banned from the Old Testament. Okay, so the whole Bible itself will eventually be banned, and anybody quoting anything from the Bible will be persecuted. A great persecution is coming to the church because of these anti-Semitic laws. They're already being enforced in Canada. It's only a matter of time before it goes full bore here in this United States of Israel. And when you have even governors, like the governor of South Dakota, signed the strongest anti-Semitic laws of any state in the nation, little did she know, she's paving the way for the Antichrist. All right. She signed this state over to the Antichrist. So the Antichrist will be a chosen one. And if you have any problems with any concerns, problems or issues or derogatory questions of anything concerning him and his program for the world, you will be hunted down. And there's now nowhere on the planet you can hide. Nowhere to escape. No escape anywhere. With Elon Musk's Starlink satellites, thousands of them in low Earth orbit, he's boasting to the governments of the world, and nobody will be able to hide anymore from his satellites. And when 5G is rolled out across our nation. It will be fast on the heels of 5G. It'll be 6G. There's just nowhere. Drones everywhere. smart dust. Okay. Military has smart dust. The fly in the wall. Okay. May not be a fly anymore. A real fly. It may be one of their flies sent to spy on you and me. A fly in the wall. So have your fly swatter ready, folks, to swat that fly in the wall that's spying on you. Smart TVs, smartphones, smart fridges, all spy devices. The Internet of Things. And for those who've taken the clot shots, you've got, if you remain unrepentant and unwashed by the blood of Jesus, you are an unwitting fool, a useful idiot of the Internet of Bodies. You will be assembled into the Borg. Resistance will be futile. You will become a member of the Borg. Now, this anti-Semitic legislation will not only divide the sheep from the goats, but the sheep from the sheep. Because who are you going to stand on? You're going to stand with Jesus, or you're going to stand with the Jews that denounce Jesus? There are Jews who are Christians. And even in the New Testament, it says we're new creatures. We're no longer Jew or Gentile. We're one in Christ Jesus. So if you're a former Jew, now Christian, you are no longer a Jew. But when we're one in Christ Jesus, we're one through the blood of Christ and through the Holy Spirit, we become one. So yes, we can still recognize when we're in these earth suits that there's differences among us, but our allegiances no longer tribal earthly allegiances. Our allegiance is with Jesus and with the heavenly temple and united through the Holy Spirit in how Jesus would have us live our lives, so that we as Christians should not be advocating for Israel over there to slaughter all the Palestinians, thinking that they're the Philistines of the Old Testament. There's a lot of Christian brothers and sisters over there that are being slaughtered. And if you're a Christian over here in the United States of America, cheering Israel to do this, they're going to be doing that to you. When the mask comes off of true Israel over there, and the mask comes off over here as to who's betrayed us, who's transformed us from the United States of America to the disunited states of Israel, there'll be no escape of their ironclad laws that forbid any mention of Jesus at all. Even the mention of his name will be forbidden. Okay. They will hunt you down. They'll close all the churches. It'll be communism on steroids. Communism. You don't have to worry about the Nazis. Worry about the communists. They've joined forces, folks. So, you know, we compare what's going on today with Nazi Germany, but we neglect to compare it to communist Russia. When the communists took over Russia, and the communists were a very high percentage were Jews. God hating, Jesus hating Jews. But they do have a God that they do serve, and that's Lucifer. The reprobate Jews, but you could say reprobate Norwegians, okay? They don't serve the true God, right? They may say, go to church and everything, but are they really Christians? You can walk into your garage. Does that make you a car? You walk into a chicken coop. Does that make you a chicken? Okay. You walk into a church, go to church all your life. Does that make you a true Christian? Okay. You go through the form and ritual and everything, but you don't know Jesus. Just like in the Old Testament here, where they went to the temple, they went to their synagogues, and they prayed and they gave their tithes and offerings and everything, but their hearts were far from God. They turned right around, spend whatever amount of time and, you know, doing the feasts and everything, and go, Next thing you know, they're right back to business as usual, of defrauding one another, coveting one another's wife or husband, you know, slaughtering the innocent, the unborn, not taking up the cause of the, you know, just plundering everybody, even of themselves, plundering even amongst themselves to bring a reproach to God. You know, God, when God extends his name to his people, he's taken a huge gamble, right? A huge gamble on extending his name to his people. And when he does that, he expects us to honor his name, not just verbally, but in how we treat one another. He's asking us to love one another and be, have fairness in all our dealings and love behind it all. And we neglect that, or we go the opposite direction and we embrace the gods of other nations. And here in the United States, you know, God of Mammon. Okay. It's very clear when again, Federal Reserve Act was passed. And then, on the money and God we trust. Okay. Well, as Christians, we interpret that, oh, it's our God that we trust. Isn't that nice? Put in God we trust in our money. No, it's not our God that they're talking about. It's their God of Mammon. Federal Reserve was passed by them, okay, to take over this country. And what the reason we're in the mess we're in, financial mess, this nation is, we'll never get out of this mess until we abolish the Federal Reserve and reinstitute a godly monetary system that we are started out with. But we handed over, we have the merchants in the temple, the merchandisers in the temple, the money changers. And the last president who tried to do something about that was assassinated in broad daylight. That would be John F. Kennedy, by the money changers in the temple. And that was a very overt means of getting the message out. You don't mess with the money changers in the temple, i.e. the Federal Reserve. You don't mess with them because we know what tribe they're from. And so you don't mess with them. The same people that Jesus in his day locked horns with, the money changers in the temple of that day. If Jesus were alive today on this earth, he'd be saying the same things and even more against the same group of people. And they wouldn't make the same mistake twice of putting him on a cross. Believe me, they'd deep six him somewhere where nobody could ever find his body, right? They wouldn't make that mistake again. Oh, where'd Jesus go? Well, we don't know what happened to him, you know, but some unfortunate thing happened to him, right? Because we can't find him anywhere. We got our spy satellites and drones and everything, deep ground penetrating radar. We just can't find him. We got the secret space program out there. We can't find him anywhere. So if the prophets were alive, Jeremiah, Isaiah, etc., they'd be doing the same thing to them. So what do you expect any different from this group of people, church, that they're going to be doing the same thing here in the United States, this United States of Israel? They're going to be implementing the same thing. They're going to go on steroids. Communism and Judaism are the same thing. And it was Judaism that took over Christian Russia and overthrew. Not that that government was perfect. There are a lot of imperfections under the Tsarship of Russia, but it was basically Christian and a godless communistic Judaism overthrew Russia in 1917. And they're successfully on the tail end now of a complete overthrow of our nation here, the disunited states of Israel. And they will clamp down just like Lenin did to Stalin, the Holodomor of Ukraine in the 30s, intentionally starving to death millions of Ukrainians, and they have not forgotten. But is Putin the same as Stalin? I would ask you, Ukrainians, is Putin the same? I understand your vehemence against the Russians for what happened, but not every Russian was behind that. The communists were. The communists of Russia were behind the Holodomor, not your rank and file Russian. And so Putin believes in fair trade deals. Okay, so if you were to surrender to Putin, I believe, judging by his character, he would do everything he and the government of Russia could do to restore Ukraine to becoming the breadbasket, once again, a breadbasket and a showcase of prosperity and reinstate Christianity as the official religion. Whereas Zelensky has gone overboard to suppress and destroy Christianity. Okay, so take that note, Christians. Whenever they gain the upper hand, they will come against and destroy Christianity wherever they can find it. That's going to happen here in the United States of Israel through the anti-Semitic laws. And so you'll have a decision, churches, what to make. If you're going to go with the flow and you don't want to offend anybody, okay, the gospel of Jesus Christ is by nature going to be offensive to those who are perishing. And those who are offended will do everything to suppress that message.
This episode will be continued in Part B.